Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text upon which we base the meditation is recorded in the 12th chapter of Exodus, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole company of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses they are, and where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. We remember this night as a night that Jesus was betrayed, but also that he instituted the Lord's Supper for us some 2,000 years ago. And so it is that tonight we go back to the very first Passover in our text to see just what it was that Jesus was celebrating with his disciples and how this Passover continues to have meaning for us today in the Lord's Supper. Now, the Passover was the 10th plague, the 10th plague that God brought upon the Egyptians who were holding the children of Israel as slaves in the land of Egypt. And though Moses, and through Moses, God had come to Pharaoh 9 times before this and had asked Pharaoh to let his children go free, but Pharaoh refused to do so. And so this, the 10th plague, was to be the last one. After this, God knew that Pharaoh would let the children of Israel go free to return to the promised land. And so he told them to make preparations for this plague and to remember that plague as a religious feast every year they were to celebrate it. And so the lamb, he says, you're supposed to sacrifice a lamb or a goat. It needs to be a year old. You just select that lamb and choose that lamb on the 10th day of the month. And then you're to take care of it for the next 4 days. And then on the 4th day at evening, you are to sacrifice that lamb. And then you're to roast it in fire and eat it in the house. But you're also to save some of its blood and paint that blood on the door of your house. And that, he also said, no one was to leave that house that evening. And there was to be no one in a house that did not have the blood of the lamb painted on the door of the house. The reason that this was to happen was that the angel of death was going to cross over the whole land of Egypt. And in every house in the land of Egypt, the firstborn child would die. Firstborn child would die in every house in Egypt. But God said to the Israelites, if you take and sacrifice this lamb and paint the blood of the lamb on the door of the house. Then when the angel of death comes through the land that night, it will see the blood of the lamb on the door and will pass over the house and not kill the firstborn in that house. And so what happened, and you need to take note of that, in every house in Egypt, Israelite or Egyptian, something died that night. It was either the firstborn child or the lamb. The lamb became the substitute in the home of the believers. And so the lamb took the place. He died in their place. And the Passover then shows God's great love for his people, that if they trust in his promises and they have faith in his word, God says he will pass over them and he will redeem them. And it pointed forward to the coming of Jesus. Jesus was the Lamb of God that was to be our Savior from the world, who would become our Lord. Jesus would die in our place that we could live with God. And so Jesus is the ultimate and final Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb was selected 4 days before to celebrate it last Sunday, Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was selected as the one chosen to be the sacrifice. As he marched into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, the people proclaimed him here their Lord and Savior. They sang his praise to him. He was the one that was holy and without sin. He was the perfect one, without spot, without blemish. There was no sin or malice and evil found him. And so he was the perfect sacrifice chosen by God to die for our sins. Now, God, as we know, is a just God. God must punish all sin. He can't overlook any sin. It must be punished. But God uses a principle of law that we still use today. We call it the principle of substitution, or at least I call it the principle of substitution. I don't know what lawyers call it. But it's still used today. The most common place that this principle of law is used is probably in what we call the traffic courts. In a traffic court, let's say your teenage daughter, son, ends up driving too fast, gets pulled over, and is hauled into court. And then the judge looks at that, and he says, let's say the fine is $250, or 30 days in jail. Now, the teenager doesn't have any money. Dad probably went with him. So the teen looks at Dad with weepy eyes, and Dad becomes the substitute. Okay? Dad substitutes for the teen. He suffers the punishment. He pays the fine. Now, it might get changed at home, but at the moment, he has become the substitute. And it's that principle of law. The law said there's this much money has to be paid. It cannot be broken. It cannot be forgiven. It can't be overlooked in our courts either. But the courts will allow someone to substitute for another person at times. And so that's the principle that God uses. God is a judge. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. There is no escape from that. But then God says, I will let Jesus be a substitute because he lived holy and perfect and he's my son, but I will still let him die for you as a substitute for your sins so that now when I look at you, I see your sins have been paid for. And he can then forgive us those sins. Not because we have erased them or paid the punishment for them, but God has paid it in our place. He poured out his blood. He gave up his life. Not a bone was broken. And so he's that true Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus now, night that he's betrayed, before he's nailed to the cross the next day, tells his disciples at the Passover meal, he says, "Take, eat. This bread is my body. Take, drink. This blood, this wine, is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." He's indicating that he is going to die for our sins. He's going to pay the penalty of that. And just like the sacrificial lamb that was eaten at Passover, we are to now eat his body and we are to drink his blood, so that that is painted on our hearts. We paint the blood of Christ on the door of our heart, so that when God comes in his judgment and he comes to us, he sees the blood of Christ on our heart. And then God passes over us, passes over our sins, because he sees that they have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he can let us come into heaven, because the sin has been paid for, not by us, but it's been paid for by our substitute, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't hold his wrath against us, but forgives us and welcomes us into heaven. Now we can assume, back at that first Passover, people being people, that some of the Egyptians heard about this special thing going on with the Israelites, their slaves. There was communication between them. We can assume that some of them heard about this. Maybe some of them even believed that it was going to happen. They'd already had 9 other plagues. We're not told if some of them did or didn't, but they might have. And if they would have done the same thing, God would have passed over their homes also. But we can also believe, people being people, that some of the Israelis, the children of Israel, that some of them said, "Oh, not another one of Moses' tricks. What's he going to do this time?" And they probably sat in their home, and one of their children died that night because they did not believe. That's what comes to us too. We must still make use of this sacrament. We must make use of it by faith. We must believe that when we receive tonight the bread and the wine, that in, with, and under that, we are also receiving the body and blood of Christ, that Jesus has truly died for our sins. And so by believing it, we paint it in our heart, we make it real for us. And that's what God wants us to do. Or we can just say, "Oh, it's not that important. I went last Sunday. I went a month ago. Let's skip it tonight. There's a whole bunch of people. I'm hurried to get home." And just ignore it. Pay it no attention to God's offer of body and blood, forgiveness of sins. And in this way, we indicate that it's not important to us. We indicate in this way that our heart is not in God's faith. And the result is that God, coming in judgment, will not see the blood of Christ in our heart. And when he comes in judgment on the last day, and if he doesn't see the blood of Jesus Christ painted on your heart through the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, he's not going to pass over you and welcome you into heaven. But at that time, he will exert his wrath on us and destroy us in the fires of hell. So let us turn to God, acknowledge his forgiveness, acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, and so receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can live with God, so that we can praise God and thank him for his grace and mercy every day of our life, and especially for all eternity in heaven. May God be with us and grant us such a faith. Amen. We continue by confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found in the back of your hymn book.